This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. I'm excited about this show because I have in studio with me a friend who comes in from time to time, Judge Tom Kay, who has had some interesting things in his life for the last couple of years here. And before we have him share what he traditionally does, some of the poems that he has written, I'd like for him to share with you a little bit about his missionary experience in the Philippines.
Well, what happened is right at the end of 2020, at the last day of 2020, I retired. And in February, we started a mission in the Philippines where I was the associate area legal counsel, worked with a full-time lawyer for the church, and my wife worked with the area presidency. And it was right at the height of COVID. In fact, in the Philippines, they did not have any COVID vaccines yet. And so we got to wear not only a mask, we wore a mask and then those face shields. And when it's 95 degrees and 90% humidity, you
not
sweat
so
a lot.
Yeah, not so fun. Wow, that's great. And so how long were you there, and what are a couple of sort of fun takeaways that people might want to hear about the missionary work in the Philippines and how things are going?
Well, I didn't realize that the Philippines is the fourth largest area for members and stakes. There's 125 stakes and there's 870,000 members. We were there when it was the 60th anniversary of the church, since Elder Hinckley came in 1961 and dedicated the land at the American Cemetery. And so 60 years later, it comes from a handful to 870,000. There's also been now 13 temples announced in the Philippines. There's two existing, two about to be dedicated, and nine more.
That's pretty amazing. That's maybe only a short number two behind the dedication of the Holy Land for the return of the Jews. I mean, that's
it's
quite remarkable.
It is totally amazing, and the people there are so full of faith. I mean, they're all Catholics because of 500 years of Catholicism, the only Christian country in that part of the world. But these people believe in Christ, and when they hear the gospel, they're accepting it. And now we've got people second and third generations in the country. I mean, some people come home on a mission, and at age 25, they're bishops, and at age 30, they're stake presidents, and age 40, they're area 70s.
Wow, that's so, great need for leadership, it sounds like. That's remarkable.
But it was a wonderful experience, and we loved every minute of it. It was a lot of work, but it was wonderful.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that report. That's some great insights that most people wouldn't have into what's happening in the Philippines. So what do you have for us today? You are a poet. We have enjoyed from time to time, every couple of years or so, some of the new poems that you have written. And you have a new subject that you've been writing about. And some of that, I think, will dovetail very well into our Come Follow Me curriculum for next year, which is the Book of Mormon.
Well, I think that I hope that the people that hear this today will not only read Luke chapter 2 in the future, but they'll read 3 Nephi chapter 1, because 3 Nephi chapter 1 is as much about Christmas as Luke 2 is. And some of the poems we'll talk about, some of the new poems that I've written this year in 2023 have to do with the Book of Mormon too and Christmas.
Perfect.
So one of the things that happened, as everybody knows that are familiar with the Book of Mormon, was Samuel the Lamanite. He came and basically testified in Helaman, in the Book of Helaman, and this is a poem from his perspective. I am a Lamanite. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have been called to prophesy to the Nephites before the coming of our Savior, and this is my prophecy. Behold, I give unto you a sign for 5 years more cometh, and behold, then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who shall believe on his name. And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign at the time of his coming. For behold, there shall be great lights in heaven, insomuch that in the night before he cometh, there shall be no darkness, insomuch that it shall appear unto man as if it was day. Therefore there shall be one day and a night and a day, as if it were one day, and there were no night. And this shall be a sign for you. But ye shall know, for ye shall know that of the rising of the sun and also of this its setting. Therefore they shall know of a surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall be not darkened, and it shall be the night before he is born. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, such an one as ye have never before beheld. And this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven. That was my prophecy, how I wait for this great day. And
wonderful.
So when Samuel was doing that, you know, what happened is about 5 years later, the wicked people in 3 Nephi 1 started to say to the people who believed that the time had already passed, and basically called the people fools and made fun of them. Now, if it had stopped at making fun, it would have been okay, but they then said, and if the sign doesn't come in a day, we're going to kill all of those who believed in Samuel. So this poem is written from the perspective of the righteous people who were waiting for that night. It is hard to think of Christmas when they threaten you with death. It is hard to think of Jesus' birth as you take your final breath. But Samuel was inspired when he said Christ would be born, and we believe the prophet, though the wicked all may scorn. We know the new star will appear, 2 days without a night. We know that God will answer our prayers and shower us with light. So those people were waiting and had faith and believed. And then, as we know, Nephi, the prophet, then prayed and said, you know, here we're in trouble. And so then the Savior then said these words. Tomorrow come I into the world to know, to show the world that I will fulfill all that I have caused to be spoken by the holy prophets. I will come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world. I come to do the will of the Father, to atone for the sins and pains of men, to establish my church and mine everlasting covenant. I will descend below all things and be lifted up, and according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me. So that's what happened. The sun went down that night and it didn't get dark. And then the unbelievers had a problem. They couldn't kill all the believers. And so this is kind of written from their perspective before the sign was given, when the sign was given, and what their new approach was going to be. We will kill all who believe the words that Samuel the prophet gave. The time is now past, and you are such fools to ever have faith to believe. But when the sign came, it forced us to change our plan. So we came up with another. You really did not see the new star appear, or the 2 days without a night. By repeating these lies for months and years, the people will actually believe they never saw these signs and wonders. And I thought, you know, that only happened in our days where we kept hearing things that were false over and over and over again, and then people start to believe that. But that happened in 3 Nephi 1. So hopefully, when you think of these poems, you'll read 3 Nephi 1 this Christmas.
Wonderful. With us in the studio today is Judge Thomas Kay, and return missionary along with his wife, Thomas Kay. He's here to share with us some of his new poetry. When we come back from our break, we'll continue on with some more poems. If you have a question or comment about this program or any other religious question or prior show, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. In studio, Judge Thomas Kaye, who's sharing with us some of his poetry. During our last segment, we had some wonderful poetry about the Book of Mormon. What do you have for us for this segment?
Well, one of the things that I've thought about is King Herod. You know, we thought, you know, King Herod got a lot of things done, but he didn't want any competition. And so I've written a new poem this year from King Herod's point of view, and it's called King Herod's Evil Ways. There is only one way to remain in power, and that is to eliminate the competition. When I heard that a new king was to be born, a king of the Jews, I was worried. Although I do not believe in the prophets, I found out where they said this king would be born. Then I tricked the so-called wise men into telling me when the new star appeared. If only they would have done as I had asked them, to find the new king and tell me where he is so I could also worship him. I know it was a lie, but I tricked them once and I thought I could do it again. However, they never responded to me and I never heard from them again. I now know that they have mocked me. I only have one alternative left. Since the star appeared 2 years ago, this new king must be two or less and must be in Bethlehem or the surrounding region. My plan is not difficult. I must kill all the children under two in this area so I can be certain that this king of the Jews and the so-called Son of God is eliminated. My plan worked to perfection. All the children have been slaughtered. I am still king and have no challengers to my kingdom. Unbeknown to King Herod, he did not kill Jesus. In fact, it was King Herod who died shortly after the slaughter of the children. So I try to say, I think he was a very evil man.
He was a very evil man, and he got what he deserved in the end.
Yeah. Then I was thinking, after the slaughter, I wrote a new poem about the people whose children were slaughtered. And I don't know about you, Martin, but in the Bible it says he killed all children under two. Now, he knew it was a king. It was going to be a boy. It wasn't going to be a girl. But why did he kill all children under two? You know, that shows even more evil as far as I'm concerned.
I believe you're right. In addition, maybe he just didn't want to even bother checking to see.
Well, when you see little kids that age and they wear similar clothes.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe that's a great idea. Well, this is called The Slaughter of the Children. She was our only daughter. He was our only son. The slaughtered bodies lie there. Look what this king has done. He murdered all the children who were under the age of two. The cries of all their parents. When will this pain be through? And what a hard thing that would have been for those parents.
Tragically, we've seen similar things for more ages than that since November 7th in Israel.
That's really true, and I think that's a hard problem. I've tried to write some poems also more about, you know, Joseph and Mary, because I think one of the things that happened is we don't realize that they had to go from Bethlehem to Egypt to avoid Jesus being killed by King Herod. And what actually happened was in the middle of after the wise men came, that night Joseph had another dream that the angel said, get out of town and do it fast. And in the middle of the night, they leave. They pick up the gifts of the wise men or whatever they could carry and take a week to get there. So this is called Flight into Egypt, which I don't think many of us think about at Christmas. It was after the wise men came and offered their gifts that the angel appeared again to me in my dream, as he did once before. I was told to take Jesus and Mary and flee unto Egypt, because King Herod was going to kill our son. So in the middle of the night, we took the wise men's gifts and what we could carry, and left as quietly as we could. We went for miles and did not stop until it was light. We were cautious and did not speak to anyone unless we were spoken to. It took more than a week to get to Egypt, but when we made it safely there and without further danger. We have since heard that King Herod killed all the children, two and under, in Bethlehem the day after we left. Hopefully, King Herod believed that he had killed our son and that we will not be further hunted by him. And so their life was, you know, very exciting from the beginning. But that was I think of the dedication, the dependability, what Joseph, that he could be a righteous person, that an angel could appear to him in dreams several times, and that he would always respond. He's kind of Nephi-like.
He was a good man.
He was a very good man.
Very good man.
Yeah. And so then I also like to think of not just what's in the scriptures, but what should we do at Christmas? And I think one of the things that I try to do is I try to think of what didn't happen to Jesus, what should we do? So we have no room for them in the inn, they were told. So this is called Room for Him. I do not have a palace, a hotel, or an inn, but I have room for Jesus, and I will let him in. I do not have a manor, a mansion, or castle dear, but I have room for Jesus, and he is welcome here. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to have some room for him. And then I think we also need to talk about what gift can we give Jesus? And this is called My Gift. What do I have to give him? What could he ask from me? What do I have that he'd desire? A soul grown more like thee. This last week, I've given three poetry readings, and one was to the Red Barn, where there's some folks that are in criminal trouble and they're kind of trying to straighten up their lives. And I was trying to tell them that that's what Jesus wants from them, is improvement and try to do better each day. And I think that's what hopefully all of us can do.
That's a great opportunity to be able to share that kind of a message with them.
It is. It's kind of like what I've done at the jail for 22 years as well. So,
yeah. We've probably got time for a couple more.
Okay. Well, then let me talk about the ones that, this one's called Be Still at Christmas.
Okay.
This year, be still at Christmas. Slow down and hear the bells. Remember baby Jesus and what the shepherds tell. This year, be still at Christmas. Watch the star, hear angels choir. Then listen as the Spirit restores your soul with fire. And then another one's called Kindness at Christmas. Let us show kindness at Christmas. Let us show love to our friends, always remembering our families, faithful to God to the end.
Thank you. Wonderful. It's been such a delight to have you here. One of the things that's most impressed me about what you have done with your life is that in addition to serving as a judge, you've done other things as well like this. You've gone to the jail on a yearly basis and read poetry to the inmates. Not a lot of people would do that.
I don't know of any other judge that's done that. So.
I'm not aware of anyone, judge or not, who has done that. That's a remarkable thing. And I know that from speaking out at the Utah State Prison once, that some of the people who are incarcerated are some of the most very receptive of all.
Mm-hmm. I think they're at a point where they're maybe at the lowest part of their life and realize that what they have done hasn't helped. So they're looking for ways to improve their life and change their lives, a lot of them.
Very much so. Well, thank you so much for being with us and giving us some Christmas spirit. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Martin.
Thanks for your time. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.